right, let's go ahead and get started this morning. Grab your songbooks and stand with me. Turn to page 195. 195. Glory to his name. 195. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to, on that last verse, come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
That's what we want to do this morning, bring glory to his name. Amen. Brother Morgan, would you lift your voice up and ask God's blessing? Pray it, and I'm praying in your heart. He's going to pray out loud, but let's ask the Lord to really meet with us this morning. Amen. May be seated.
Darkest night, a dawn.
church family, I want to have them sing that again. I think we just need to ponder on the Lord this morning for just a moment. Have folks go ahead and come on and have a seat if you don't mind. And again, I don't normally do that, but it's in his name. I think it would be good for us just to think about him for a few more minutes this morning. Let's echo that now with how great thou art. 365, let's stand together. 365, how great thou art.
Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul. Mountain grandeur, and hear the brook, and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen, let's take a few minutes.
All right, let's come back as we sing on that last verse, on the last. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
All right, good singing this morning. Ushers, if you go ahead and come for the offering. Church family, some announcements you'll want to remember. Don't forget our annual roller skating activity. That's tomorrow, Monday. The time on that is from 6 to 8 p.m. It's in Topeka at the Skateway Rink. The cost is $5 only if you skate. If you don't skate, and just again come for the fellowship. Again, 6 to 8 tomorrow evening. Flyer distribution in Topeka with the Capital City Baptist Church there. It'll be on Saturday, February the 4th. We'll leave the church here at 10 a.m. or you can meet us over there at 10:30. A couple Sunday school activities, K-4 and 5 in first grade, have an activity on Saturday, January 21st. Second grade class has an activity on Sunday, January 22nd. The teens have an activity on Friday, January the 27th, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. And then intramural basketball and volleyball begins on Friday, March the 10th. And if you'd like to be a part of that, you can sign up on the bulletin board in the back. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful, Lord, to be in your house. Lord, for the good spirit this morning, the singing. Lord, I pray that you might just bless, Lord, each part of the service. Bless this offering. Lord, meet the needs of the church. Lord, I pray that you might bless the preaching of your word this morning. Lord, speak to each and every one that's here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me grab your songbooks one last time. 241. 241, Grace Greater Than Our Sins. 241.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. On that last, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Have our special come at this time. If you've got your Bible, you can turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9, we're going to look at the story of David and Mephibosheth this morning.
Story from God's word that kings
There you go. Go ahead, and you're in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Look at the story of David and Mephibosheth this morning. I want to title this message. I don't always mention titles, but I want to talk about the demonstration of grace. What an Old Testament picture here. Most of you know the story. A demonstration of the grace of God in the Old Testament. And again, if you're saved this morning, it's the grace of God that you're saved. Grace meaning graciousness. That's usually the first definition. But graciousness or favor or benefit. And believe it or not, it even has the definition of dessert, and I like that. All right? In other words, not necessary, but man, I'm sure glad it's part of the meal. Amen? And I'm thankful for the grace of God. So this morning, would you look with me in your Bible? I'm going to read a few verses with you. Actually, there's 13 verses to this chapter. And church, I mean, if you don't mind, let's read it responsively this morning. I just want to make sure you kind of stay focused. It tells the entire story in these 13 verses. So I'll read a verse, then you'll read a verse down to the end of the chapter. Verse 1 says this, "And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Together. "And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when he had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have good food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son, whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. Together, verse 13, So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. It's a good story, isn't it? Some of you already know the message, so you say, Pastor, let's just go home. Not going to happen, amen? We're going to go ahead and look at this together and just point out some things in this chapter. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for us being Mephibosheth. Thank you for you being David. Lord, thank you again for all that you've done for us in salvation, and then, Lord, life itself, and then for eternity. And Father, again, give us wisdom this morning as we speak your word in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Show me the story of Mephibosheth. Interesting, is it not? David is the one, of course, that wanted to do something for Jonathan's sake. We understand the story of David and Jonathan. They were friends. The Bible said that they loved each other, and their love was greater than the love of women. We understand that Jonathan, of course, and David made a covenant between the two of each other, that they would take care of one another, and that David would take care of actually Jonathan's seed, his children. After him, when Saul and Jonathan, Saul being the father and Jonathan being the son, when they were killed in battle, David here, years later, it looks that he had this desire to be able to take care of somebody that was related to Jonathan, all right? And so again, he does that here. Again, what a demonstration of the grace of God. Mephibosheth did not deserve it. Mephibosheth did not ask for it, but yet King David gave him that grace. And again, that's the same thing we want to look at our lives. So this morning, I want to look at just a few things this morning about Mephibosheth. And I want to make the parallel. How does Mephibosheth represent you and I? If you're saved this morning, would you say amen? Amen. You remember a time in your life that you saw yourself as a sinner and you asked Jesus to save you. You might have been at church, you might have been at home, but there was a time that you realized your need for salvation only through Jesus Christ, and you asked him to save you. Can I just tell you, that's the grace of God that you're saved this morning. The Bible says, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. You know what that tells us? There are more people going to hell than people are going to heaven. Now, if you're saved, guess what? You're part of the few. You ought to be thankful for that. And you're not part of the few because you're a Baptist. You're not part of the few because you came to church. You're part of the few because you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So the grace of God. I want you to look at just a couple things with me this morning. Now, so can we walk through this together? Thank you so much for letting me. Look at verse number 3. Let's pick it up there now. The Bible says in chapter 9, verse number 3, and the king said, is there not any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness, the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. Now I want to explain that word lame for just a moment. Would you flip back to chapter number 4? It tells how it happened. In 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 4, just a few pages back. It says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. Now, how did that happen? Verse number 4 goes on to say, he was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled, and it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Church, isn't it interesting that God uses the story in the Old Testament to demonstrate grace, and the very first thing God tells us about Mephibosheth is he couldn't walk. In fact, the reason he couldn't walk is because Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle, and the nurse, the person taking care of Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, he was 5 years old. They're running. I can only picture. They were running out of maybe a city after the battle had failed and the Philistines were coming in to take over. They're running for their lives. And I don't know exactly how it happened. I don't know how she fell or he fell. But as she, the nurse, is taking this five-year-old falls. And the Bible says he became lame on his feet, which means he couldn't walk. Just means there a better parallel with us being that believer who is Mephibosheth, who was damaged by a fall. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Church, can I just tell you that the reason you have a sin nature is because Adam had a sin nature. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they ate of that fruit. The Bible says that because they ate of the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that they would die. They begin to die physically because of sin. Church, as you walk backward, or as we walk backward, my father had a father, and his father had a father, and it goes all the way back to Adam, and they were all born with that same sin nature. Can I just tell you, we were damaged by a fall that happened in the Garden of Eden. That's why there are no perfect babies. That's why there are no sinless Christians. That's why there is nobody that can say, I have not sinned, is because we have a sin nature that desires to do wrong. And the only way we can combat that is because if we're saved, we've got a spirit of God. And the spirit of God, they're contrary one to the other. There's a fight going on the inside, a fight to do what my flesh wants and a fight to do what the spirit of God wants. And I'm thankful that the grace of God came down to somebody who was damaged by a fall. And that fall of man, the sin that we have in our life. All of us didn't become saved, or we grew into salvation, or I was raised in a home and because of being raised in a Christian home. No, you're saved because of Jesus who came to help people who have fallen. That's all of us. Mephibosheth, very clear picture of a person who was damaged by a fall. John chapter 3, verse 18 says, he that believeth on him, talking about Jesus, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is what? Condemned already. Condemned already, why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you're here this morning and you've not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God, I want to tell you what the scripture says. You're condemned already. Amen. Condemnation. Condemned to spend eternity in a lake of fire forever and ever. You say, is that for adults? No, that's for every person who comes to the knowledge of salvation and rejects it. That's the person who understands that they're a sinner and they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're condemned already. I'm thankful that God came down to save those who were damaged by a fall. I see something else here in verse number 4, 5, and 6. Again, I'm going to walk through the story with you this morning. It says, and the king said, verse number 4, and the king said unto him, what's the question? It's three words long. Say it out loud. Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he's in the house of Makir. Church, I don't know if you caught this or not, but Mephibosheth was sought by a king. Do you understand that David, the king, went to look for Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth is in Makir, the house of Amiel, the city of Lodabar. And here he's there, and he probably thought he was forgotten. Think about it. He was the grandson of King Saul. And now he can't walk. And now he's in Lodabar, a suburb, probably a small community, but not known by anybody. Ziba, obviously, but not really known by anybody. And here the king sends his entourage. Can you imagine as Ziba comes up and he comes to the door and he knocks on the door and says, hey, is Mephibosheth here? And Mephibosheth, whether in a wheelchair or crutches or something of some type of aid to get him the door, and he says, yes, and he says, the king wants you. Can you imagine his thought in his mind? Maybe it would have been, oh, my grandfather tried to hunt him and kill him, and now he's going to take revenge. Can you imagine maybe the thoughts that went through his mind? Now he's going to put me in prison because of what my ancestor did. As the king called for him, and he stands before the king, and David says, Mephibosheth? And Mephibosheth says, behold thy servant. Do you understand that David was looking for him? I know I've said it oftentimes from the pulpit, but again, it's in the story. It's another reminder. I didn't get saved because I wanted to get saved. I got saved because Jesus sought me. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Church family, you're saved because God came to you. We talk about the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, the sin unto death. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is when a person is convicted of their sin needing a Savior and they reject that. That's the sin unto death. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of God calls us and draws us. Can I make parallel this morning? This is just Scott Hanks. But I look at this particular story this morning and I think about David representing God the Father. And I think about Mephibosheth representing the believer. But I almost like to think that Ziba is a picture of the Holy Spirit. That God the Father, David, tells Ziba, go get Mephibosheth. Church family, do you understand that Mephibosheth could have heard from the king and says, hey, the king wants to see you. He says, I don't want to see the king. I don't want to go talk to him. Can I tell you, when the Holy Spirit of God shows you your need for salvation and you don't respond, I just want to tell you, you're rejecting an invitation to heaven. An invitation by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to save us. Mephibosheth was not really a good candidate to be called. His name means dispeller of shame. His home, Lodabar, means no pasture or no sound, no communication. Doesn't sound like a nice place to be. It's interesting, church family, when you make the parallel, and I'm making very many applications this morning, but when you think about that, his grandfather was Saul, and Saul was a rejecter of King David because David was anointed by God to be the next king, and Saul rejected that. Can I just make a parallel? I know it's just a parallel. But can I just tell you that, can you imagine Mephibosheth thinking about Saul, his ancestor, who rejected the king? And can I just tell you that before you got saved, you were a child of the devil and Lucifer rejected the king as well. But I'm glad that God does not hold us an account because of our, if I can say, spiritual father, the devil. Now that you're saved, you become a child of God and a son of God. God wants us all to be saved. And just like David wanted to be able to show kindness to Mephibosheth, that's what God's done for us. It's the grace of God. I know a lot of messages are not on salvation, but you can't get around the picture here that here's a person who's damaged by a fall who was sought by a king. And I'm just trying to tell you, you were damaged by a fall and you've been sought by a king. And God wants you to be saved. And if you're here and you don't know that you're saved, that you're for sure that you're on your way to heaven, I'm just telling you the king, God, he wants you to be saved and he's coming to you and telling you of your need of salvation. We knock on doors frequently, and as we knock on doors and we try to talk to people, and oftentimes people are very hard, can be hard. Slam the door. No, I don't want to see that. Yesterday, they were out sowing. There was 10 that went to Topeka. And they were telling some of the stories back in the van on how they were coming up to a door. And the lady behind the window just went, keep going. I want to tell you something. If that person never accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, the Bible says in Luke chapter 16 that the rich man had a memory. She'll never forget this. God sought us, just like the king David sought Mephibosheth. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7, without you turning to it, about the lost sheep. He said, if there's 99 sheep in the fold and there's one that's lost, what does the shepherd do? He goes out to the one that was lost, and when he brings it back, there's great rejoicing. I'm thankful for the people that are in the auditorium this morning. And as I said a few moments ago, if you're saved, I said, had you say amen. And as you gave a hearty amen, I'm thankful for the folks that know for sure that you're saved. There might be one in here this morning. You're not sure. He's after you. He's seeking you. God wants you to be saved. It's not by accident. You're in a church service this morning. Well, I came because my friend came or because somebody invited me or because I just was curious. No, you came because the God himself divinely appointed for you to be in this service this morning to hear that he loves you and he wants you to be saved. We understand that Mephibosheth was damaged by a fall. Mephibosheth was sought for by a king. Look at verse number 7. I see something else here. In verse number 7, I like this. Verse number 7, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness. The word kindness, talking about the grace of God. I will surely show thee kindness for what reason? Jonathan, thy father's sake. Look at verse number 1, same chapter. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for what? You know what I see next? I see Mephibosheth was shown kindness for somebody else or for another. Now, church, I think you can put this together, can you not? You're saved because of Jesus Christ. Amen. You remember some of the verses that we quote or that we memorize or reread that have to do with forgiveness? Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. For Christ's sake. Remember we talked about the other day, we talked about God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Stephen, help me out here for just a second here. And Reagan, help me out real quick here if you don't mind. Let's see here. I'll use your coat. You can take your coat off if you don't mind. Let me use your coat because I can keep mine on. All right, thank you very much. All right. Oh, no, you need to put your coat on. I'm sorry. Forgive me. You're going to represent God. You need to look sharp, all right? This is bad typecasting, but we're going to do it anyway, all right? Go ahead and step on the second stool. All right. This is going to be the center. Did we get the right person? Right. Blame me. We got the right person, all right? All right. So, God the Father wants Stephen to be saved, but Stephen is a sinner, and Stephen can't get saved unless he accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, we're going to pretend for just a moment that this coat represents the righteousness of Christ or represents Jesus Christ. When we're going out door knocking, we're trying to get people to put on Christ. That's what we're really doing. We're going to somebody's door and saying, hello, my name's Scott. This is John. We're from the Heritage Baptist Church. More important than going to church is knowing for sure you're going to heaven. Amen. Do you know for sure that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? If they say no, we try to take just a few moments and show them from the Bible that number one, we all have sin. Number two, the penalty of our sin is hell. Number three, Jesus loved you and died for you so you don't have to go to hell. Amen. Number four, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be So he sees himself as a sinner, and he wants to be saved. What do we do? We're introducing them to Jesus Christ. And if he bows his head and prays, whether he bows his head or not, whether he believes in his heart that he's a sinner needing a Savior, and he asks Jesus to save him, if he does that, guess what he's doing? He's taking what we're introducing him to, Jesus Christ. And when he accepts Jesus Christ, God the Father does not see sinner Stephen. God the Father sees Jesus Christ. Church, I mean, the only reason you're going to heaven is because you've been clothed with Christ. God the Father saved you for Christ's sake. Amen. Mephibosheth, I don't know what you've done, don't know where you've been, but I knew your father. And because of Jonathan, I'm going to take care of you. Church, I mean, can you understand that God the Father is not taking care of you because of your righteousness? He's taking care of you because of Christ's righteousness. Amen. Thank you, sinner. You do a good job sinning. You don't do a good job being God, but anyway. Mephibosheth was shown kindness for another's sake. The Bible says in John 3:35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And then he says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Do you see what the Father's doing? In the previous verse, the Father loves the Son. In the next verse, if you accept the Son, I love you. I'll save you. I'll give you everlasting life. You're back in your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 9. Look at verse number 7 quickly. I'm going to finish this out this morning. Verse number 7. I know some of you are saying, hey, that was 3 points. We're done. Not yet. We're going to finish this chapter. Look at verse number 7. It says, and David said unto him, fear not, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan's sake. Verse number 8. I'm sorry, let me finish verse 7. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Now, church, let me just stop for just a second here. When David makes the statement, I'm going to restore you all that Saul, he didn't say Jonathan, he said, I'm going to restore all that Saul had. Who was Saul? He was the king of Israel. Amen. Just remember, can I put it in worldly terms? It was as if Mephibosheth just won the lottery. Amen.
He didn't just get a home. He got all that King Saul had as king. By the way, this is a sub point. Let's just throw it in real quick since we're thinking about it. When you got saved, you got all the king got. Now look at the next verse, and here's the thought for the next point here. Verse number 8, it says this, "And he, Mephibosheth, bowed himself and said, 'What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?'" You know, I wish I could, first of all, I wish I could have the attitude that Mephibosheth had. And for secondly, I wish I could portray to you how we should be humbled by God's kindness to us. I don't know the picture, to be honest with you. All I can understand is he couldn't walk. I picture that he's obviously not standing. He's lame at his feet. He's sitting before the king, and the king just gets done telling him, "I'm going to show kindness because of Jonathan, your father's sake. In fact, I'm not just going to do that. I'm going to give you everything that your grandfather had." And Mephibosheth bows himself and says, "How can you even look upon such a dead dog as I am?" The church, I don't know much about animals, but if you had a dead dog, it's pretty worthless. I don't know what the Lord does in you, and I know that you can't have the same, if I can use the word experience, I know we don't live our Christian life based upon emotion. But this morning when they were singing, I don't normally have them sing it twice, but talking about his name and then, of course, how great thou art. You know, there's just times you just want to just stop and thank God how good you are to me. Are you humbled by God's kindness to you? That's what Mephibosheth was saying. He says, "Why would you even look at me? I don't even deserve your look, let alone your kindness or all that you're giving me." And if you're not careful, you get to think, "Well, I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I wish, and this person over here has this, and this person over here has that." Wait a second here. You're a child of the king who is going to live forever with him, walk on streets of gold. There's no way to describe all the things that we got the day that we said, "I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of that sin. Please come into my heart, save me, take me to heaven. I know it's you died for me. I'm asking you to save me." Amen. Upon that, I became the rightful heir of a king. Amen. Mephibosheth, we as believers, was shown kindness for another. Mephibosheth was humbled by the king's kindness. Mephibosheth got a new home, so did we. Mephibosheth got a new family, so did we. Mephibosheth got a new name, so did we. All because God sought him and showed him kindness. I want to show you one last thing, and I'm done this morning. This one is very interesting. I mean, you've probably already got it underlined in your Bible. But verse number 9, and it goes down to verse number 13. I'll just pinpoint the phrases if I can. Verse 9 says, "Then the king called unto Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, 'I have given unto my master's son all that pertained unto Saul and to his house.'" Verse number 10, "Now thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, and thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread where? Always at my table," my being King David. Look down at verse number 11. "Then said Ziba unto the king, 'According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do.'" Look at the last phrase, verse number 11. "As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as what? Look at verse 13. "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table." Church family, the scripture's pretty clear. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, I became joint heirs with Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 17. We understand that when I got saved in John chapter 1, verse number 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the what? Even to them that believe on his name." Man, I'm a child of the king, but I'm joint heirs with Christ, Amen. The very Son of God, joint heirs. In other words, everything that Christ has, I have. Amen. He said, "Well, that's not fair." Now, I don't know about fair, but I'm sure glad it happened. Amen. David rescued Mephibosheth from physical danger, while God rescued man, not only physically, but spiritually. God spared man because of grace from an eternal hell and meets both our physical and our spiritual needs. What a blessing. Isn't that the case? I'm a child of the King. All because the King decided to save me. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. If you're glad you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
Then all of us should be humbled by that kindness. God, why would you look on such a dead dog as I? I know what I've done. I know where I've been. I know what I've said. And God says, hey, I want to tell you why. Mephibosheth, I'm going to take care of you because of your father, Jonathan. And God looks at the believer and says, I'm going to take care of you because of my son, Jesus. God loves us. He saves us. The big question this morning is this, are you saved? And I think the second biggest question is this, do you really see yourself as Mephibosheth? Humbled by the kindness of God to me in my life for saving me and all that he's given me. Are you saved this morning? You know, all of us are going to spend eternity somewhere. Heaven's real, hell's real. Purgatory is not mentioned in the scriptures anywhere. There is no purgatory. I want to just tell you that if you're not for sure, you say, well, I think I'm going to heaven. I haven't killed anybody. It's not how you get to heaven by not killing anybody. You get to heaven because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Would you let someone take a Bible and take 5 minutes and just show you what the scripture says about going to heaven? I was sitting in a church service fourth row back. My father was the preacher. He preached on hell. Then it scared me, and I came forward at the end of that invitation. My dad leaned over, and he said, Scott, what do you need? I said, Dad, I don't think I'm saved. I went over to that front pew over here, not this particular church building, but over here. The person opened the Bible, the verses I already knew, and reminded me that I was a sinner. Because of my sin, I deserved to go to hell, that Jesus died for me so I don't have to go there, and all I had to do was put my faith and receive him as my personal Savior, and I did.
Amen.
Now, you might have been somewhere else, but it all happens the same way. It's always Jesus. There's no other way. If you're not for sure of that this morning, would you please let somebody take 5 minutes and show you? I want to tell you, the devil, you know what the devil's telling you right now? I can take care of that later. Or that's really not important. I want to tell you, there's been many a person that's walked out this door. I've never seen them ever again. Whether they're alive or dead, I don't know. But I'm just telling you, you don't know how long you have to live.
That's right. Amen.
Don't put off the decision for accepting Christ as your personal Savior. And Christian, don't put off of being grateful for that.
Amen.
Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning?